These days, when the police deal with people who have mental illnesses, it's a different game than when they apprehend your average criminal. Mental illness can make people unpredictable and lead them to be a danger to themselves and to others. A new documentary from KCPT, airing for the first time on Wednesday night at 8, examines how the KCPD's crisis intervention team tries to defuse these situations safely. Joining me now is journalist and filmmaker Michael Price. He's the director of Lost Minds, KC's mental health crisis. And Michael, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
Also with me here in the studio is State Senator Kiki Curls. She's a Kansas City Democrat and a member of the Senate Appropriations Committee. Kiki, Senator, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
On the phone this morning, Dr. Keith Schaefer. He's director of the Department of Mental Health for the state of Missouri. And Keith, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Well, Michael, based on what you've seen here in Kansas City and on the streets, is there potential here for another Sandy Hook school shooting right here in our city?
Absolutely. I don't say that lightly.
And what do you say it?
Yeah. I don't want to be accused of scaremongering, Steve, but this is a scary situation. And the reason why I say that is because of the healthcare professionals who are dealing with the situation on the streets, the KCPD officers as well, the sergeants who are dealing with this situation on the streets, day in and day out, they are telling me that. They are saying that there is a risk of a Sandy Hook-style shooting in Kansas City because not enough is being done to reach people who are suffering from a serious mental illness and get those people into treatment.
And, Michael, as your documentary shows us, these folks are basically overwhelmed, right?
They're being asked to swim against a tsunami of people who have a serious mental illness who are not in treatment. They are overwhelmed. They are underfunded. And as these people hit crisis, it's the police who are having to deal with them. And these crises, as you've said yourself there in your introduction, involve the police dealing with very, very unpredictable people. Very unpredictable people who, in some cases, are armed. In the 10 months up until July this year, KCPD CIT officers alone. CIT standing for Crisis Intervention Team Program. These are officers who've undergone a week's worth of training to equip them with the skills needed now in today's world to deal with people in a crisis, mental health crisis. Mm-hmm. And that team of officers, up until the end of July, in the 10 months prior, dealt with nearly 60 incidents of where a mentally ill person was in crisis and armed with a weapon. It's unacceptable. It's putting us all in danger.
Dr. Keith Schaefer, again, director of the Department of Mental Health for the state of Missouri. How concerned are you about what's happening on the streets of Kansas City and other towns across the state, for that matter?
Well, Kansas City's not terribly different than the rest of the state, and obviously people have different perspectives about how serious the issues are. Clearly, a person with a mental illness who's on the streets not getting help is a great concern, but most of the time those people are victims. They're not the aggressors. There are cases, as Michael's talked about, but in the vast majority of cases, the police are confronting people or working with people who are who tend to be the victims, as I said. The Kansas City police are, frankly, some of the best trained in the state and among the best trained in the nation. They started the CIT training much earlier than most states and cities did, and they are absolutely excellent at what they do.
But, Keith, how concerned are you about the situation on Kansas City streets, based on what Michael just told us?
Well, I'm with the Department of Mental Health, so we're always concerned when we have people with mental illness who are on the streets of Kansas City or who are, even if they're not on the streets, are struggling and not getting connected to services. That's why the governor has spent a significant amount of time in the last 2 years focusing on strengthening Missouri's mental health system, including, as you know, creating mental health liaisons who have their connections between the police and emergency rooms and courts. And that's making a difference. We're seeing a significant change in the individuals who are involved there. We also have a major program, again, that the governor funded for emergency room diversion so that when people show up in emergency rooms, they're not just on the streets. Quite often they show up in emergency rooms with psychiatric problems, and we're making good connections there as well.
Senator Kiki Curls, one of the big concerns, again, this documentary points out, is a lack of money. You sit on the Senate Appropriations Committee. Why isn't there more money being devoted to this cause in Missouri?
You know what? I think on the Appropriations Committee, of course, we have very difficult decisions to make, and as it relates to funding. In that, I think some of us recognize how important these mental health services are.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think clearly that if I were the one solely writing the checkbook for the state of Missouri, you know, there would be some different decisions probably being made. But as we know, this is a process.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes a very difficult one, sometimes a very contentious one as well, as we make attempts to allocate funding, whether it be for mental health services, general health care services, economic development, and some of those other things. But even in saying that, clearly this is an issue that's extremely important to many of us.
You believe this? Well, these services require and need more money?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You know, even this year, there was more money allocated, of course, that was vetoed by the governor, and specifically a project here in Kansas City that we were very excited about that many of us had worked on, including Judge LoCascio. It was a Kansas City Emergency Services pilot,
mm-hmm.
and it was basically a crisis stabilization center, and it was just under $6 million, combining general revenue and federal money, that was vetoed. But it would have been a center able to treat problems of mental illness and substance abuse, to be able to avoid having some of those folks, you know, cycle through the criminal justice system. And it was a project that many of us worked very hard on.
And what happened to the money?
It was vetoed by the governor,
mm-hmm.
This year. So clearly it's something I'm sure that many of us will be working very hard on again next year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our hopes, too, would be that many folks in the community also contact the governor's office next year.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that we can make sure that as we begin to make strides in some of these areas that, you know, they're supported at the state as well.
You know, Michael, I'm not hearing the cause for alarm in Keith Schaefer's voice as you're describing it to us. What about that? Because you've been on the streets and you've seen it firsthand
for yourself.
I've been
on the streets. I've been researching this topic since January of this year. I've been on the streets, ride-alongs with the CIT officers. I'm not aware if that's something that he's done. I've spent time as well with the liaisons. To say that the liaison initiative is enough is sweeping this issue under the carpet. This film will shine a spotlight on something that is incredibly important. And the reason why it's important is because that initiative is like putting a Band-Aid on a flesh wound.
Mm-hmm.
You are not solving the issue.
Describe for us some of the calls you've been on and what exactly the CIT officers have to deal with and what the police themselves sometimes have to deal with, Michael.
I'll give you a good example, Steve, if I may, and I'm
glad
the doctor's listening to this as well.
Yes.
And that is a man who was being diagnosed with schizophrenia that has paranoid elements as well into it. He is, up until Easter of this year, he was a man who was hitting crisis point and being picked up by the police. They were dealing with him. He was a man who had a number of different firearms in his house. He was paranoid about his neighbour. He thought that his neighbour was breaking into his house and messing with his things. Now, just round the corner from this individual is a community centre, that over the summer hosted a kids' camp, hosted kids' classes. It is not enough that the liaisons and the CIT officers get out to visit that individual once a month, which is all that the resources allow them to do at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
That is an individual for the safety of those, well, the community that he lives in. And don't forget, they do live in the community.
Mm-hmm.
That is an individual who needs to be visited more often than that. And that's been said to me by the liaisons and by the CIT officers concerned.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Schaefer, what about that, this notion that, again, that once a month just simply isn't enough in some of these cases?
Well, a couple of reactions, Steve. One is, Michael, I have actually traveled with CIT officers a number of times in Kansas City and found that to be as enlightening and helpful as you did, and developed great respect for those officers. And it's not a once-in-a-month issue, and it's not the liaisons are the only entities that we have working in the process. We have five community mental health centers across the Kansas City area who work daily with these folks. Doesn't mean we have enough. As Kiki said, we clearly don't have enough resources. But the governor asked for $10 million 2 years ago, and the legislature supported that funding for, again, the emergency room diversion, the liaisons, for additional funding for mental health and CIT training, for trying to reduce the stigma, which is a major issue that we have in the state of Missouri in terms of people understanding this issue, and not sensationalizing the issue, but actually trying to address the issue in a thoughtful way. Another $10 million was requested by the governor this year. That was funded again by the legislature, bipartisan funding in that process. Senator Curls has been a major leader for us in that effort, as have a number of other people who've been involved in the issue. So,
Keith, did all that money survive the vetoes that went through the legislature
this year? The $10 million, the governor's recommendation had $10 million in it this year for a request for expansion of mental health services. The additional $2.5 million was requested mid-year as we were reviewing the process. Doesn't mean it was a bad proposal. We were very interested in that proposal as well. But as you know, as you may know, Steve, we faced a $300 million shortfall based on revenue projections that simply didn't happen. So the governor decided that a better avenue for him was to not fund programs that haven't started yet and to maintain good programs that have continued, and so that's why he vetoed that funding.
Michael Price, I hear you, Keith. Michael Price, hop in here.
The doctor will be aware, of course, of the study in 2012 that found that nearly 100,000 people in the greater Kansas City area suffer from a serious mental illness and are not in treatment. And his response to that is to appoint 5 liaisons in the Kansas City area. Mm-hmm. That's not enough. One of the liaisons asked her boss in the end of February this year. One of the liaisons asked her.
Hang on, Keith. Let Michael finish.
Keith, you gave us a lot of statistics there. I'm just going to come back at you with a few, if I may, from the streets, from these people who are working the hardest they can, 60-hour weeks every week to try and get these people into treatment. A liaison asked her boss at the end of February this year, how many of these cases can I deal with? And she was told 30 referrals from the police. These people are seriously mentally ill and are hitting crisis. Her average so far this year per month has been over 70. She received 119 referrals in August. This month, September, so far. This morning she texts me she got 79 referrals this month. You're putting a bandage on a flesh wound. It's time that the money followed where the need is. It's time that these people were brought into treatment and given the help that they need. They're not all dangerous. Let's not stigmatize them. They're not all dangerous, but too many of them are, and they're living in the community.
Keith, hop in here.
Michael, the vast majority of those folks aren't dangerous, and you know that. And the truth is that you and I fully agree with what you're saying. We need more funding. Clearly, the governor strongly believes that we need more funding. We have been addressing that issue. You know, $20 million invested in the last 2 years is not a small amount, given
five liaisons,
the priorities and the issues of the state. So it's not so much that I disagree with what Michael's saying. Clearly, I appreciate the fact that Michael and others are raising the issue for mental health. But we also need to understand that we need to be careful that we don't further stigmatize people by giving the impression that everybody on the streets is going to shoot you. That's just not simply not true.
If you're just joining us this morning, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking about folks who struggle with mental illness, who are on Kansas City streets, in a new documentary that airs at 8 o'clock on Wednesday evening on KCPT. Senator Kiki Curls, as you hear all this, you're hearing the passion on both sides. How does a senator make up his or her mind about a situation like this, and how much money needs to go where?
You know, I think, of course, it is a very difficult discussion, of course, for many of us. I think all of us agree with Mike on the findings, of course, he's had for the documentary, of course, that he's doing. And I think Dr. Schaefer does as well. I mean, on behalf of Dr. Schaefer, he is a person that is very sensitive to mental health issues, but he's also in a very difficult position being director of the state department as well. But it is something that It's a difficult discussion, and if we want to talk about the politics of it, Steve.
Well, please. That's right down my pike, Kiki. Yeah.
You know, I happen to serve in the minority, and I'm not going to say for my colleagues that they don't think it's necessarily important. There just happens to be things, of course, that they view as more pressing. And if we want to talk about issues of funding, I need to get back on this bandwagon of Medicaid expansion. Mm-hmm. You know, we're really missing out on almost probably $350 million in potential fundings for mental health patients. Mm-hmm. I think it's like $45,000 to $50,000 people across the state that could additionally be served. And it is a very critical issue. And many of these things are intertwined as we talk about this issue of mental health. You know, as we do with general health care. And so it's something that I'm very sensitive to. Mm-hmm. Many of my colleagues are as well. But it's an issue that needs to be further communicated among other folks, too, with the state.
And, Steve, I would agree with Kiki on that. The issue that will probably make the most difference in the state of Missouri, and we repeatedly talked about that in the legislature, Kiki's been a champion on that. But if we would expand Medicaid in this state, in fact, while 300,000 people would get benefits, 50,000 of those people would need the benefit. We've already documented 50,000 of those folks need mental health or substance abuse services. It would be a huge benefit, but even more than that,
it would
reach people much younger than they're being reached now. So the kinds of things Michael sees in terms of on the streets, people who have been on the streets for a long time who are extremely disabled and having huge problems, we could have reached those people between the ages of 18 and 25 or shortly thereafter if they had been Medicaid eligible. It is the greatest issue in the state of Missouri in terms of resources for the state if we expand Medicaid.
It is.
Michael?
Well, I'd concur with that, but we're talking about expanding Medicaid. We're talking about the need for hundreds of millions of dollars more. The fact of the matter is that these liaisons could go out on visits, many more visits, if the funding had bought police time. And we're talking about, relatively speaking, peanuts here. We're talking about for each liaison to be able to go out twice a week with a police escort, $20,000 per year. That's to help make our communities safe. Please, I don't think that I'm saying that everyone who's suffering from a serious mental illness is dangerous. They're not. But enough of them are to mean that something has to be done.
816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Again, 816-235-2888. Let's go to Debbie from Northeast Kansas City. Debbie, good morning.
Yes, good morning, and thank you so much for addressing this topic. I just want to say I have two grandsons with mental illness. I'd like the representative from Missouri to please note and take back to Jefferson City that it is so hard to get help for people with mental illness. The only place in Kansas City that has any kind of help and is desperately underfunded for people without Medicaid or even have Medicaid is Truman, which actually has downtown a behavioral health emergency ward. We get so amazed and disgusted when someone goes and shoots up a mall, as we should.
Right.
But we don't follow it. We don't even look at that, the reasons behind it. We just let people out there to fend for themselves. And it also includes our men and women who go and fight in wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we can't even help them when they get back. It's a disgrace.
Yeah, Debbie, I appreciate that. Kiki?
Right. Absolutely. I think, as I said, you know, we're singing to the choir, which is why it was important for me to be here today. And I think all of us recognize how eminently important this is for us and our community here as we deal with this mental health crisis here in Kansas City. And I agree with her completely. It's a message I will send back many times and have over the past several years.
Senator Curls, who advocates for this cause in Missouri? I mean, I can't imagine there's a huge crowd of people storming the Capitol demanding more money for something like this, which I gather would begin to make this a more difficult sell for lawmakers juggling all these different priorities.
Well, when you ask about a particular person, I will say that we do have advocates certainly in groups and organizations that send maybe busloads of folks on certain days to the Capitol. I think all of us recognize that there is a critical issue. It's just trying to figure out how to provide funding for it, as well as other things that happen to be important as well. And, you know, unfortunately, some of these things fall across party lines as well. If we talk about the politics of it, that's just, I mean, clearly, Steve, it's just the reality of it.
I wonder, Michael, if you can tell us a little bit more what you found as you went out on the streets with a camera when police and liaisons got to a location where someone was struggling. How do they approach a mentally health person? Give us a picture of how these things come down.
Okay, well, what's interesting, I think, is the fact that the police, the CIT trained, the Crisis Intervention Team police, have undergone training to de-escalate the situation they're confronted with.
Calm people down.
To calm people down. They're equipped with these skills to both understand the sort of crisis, the sort of condition that someone may be suffering from. So, you know, this person has bipolar disorder, this person has schizophrenia.
How do they recognize the difference?
Well, they're trained to. I mean, I haven't gone through the training myself, but they do. They ask them questions, they chat with them, they bring them down. You'll see that in the film where a young man he's got two voices in his head, a male and a female, telling him, instructing him to take his own life. He doesn't want to do it. And whilst he's standing there in the street, he's having an argument in his own mind. And two officers, two CIT trained officers turn up, and rather than confront the young man, rather than roll out of their cop car with their guns pulled, they've been trained to try and talk this gentleman down, to get him calm, and then to get him into services. This CIT training program, I think, should be rolled out across the country. Steve, only 15% of law enforcement agencies across the country offer this sort of training. We've seen what can happen when things go wrong, possibly in Ferguson. We've seen the issues there. CIT training is a great training. The police who've been through it say it's improved their skills and they've returned to old-style policing where they get out of their cop cars, they get into the community, they serve and protect.
And why did Kansas City become one of the first cities to get this?
A former Green Beret veteran, in fact, a guy called Nick Thompson, was with the police department here in Lee's Summit, and he went down to Memphis, which is where the CIT program began. It began down there in the late 1980s. He brought it back to Kansas City area in 1999. Mm-hmm. And it's been rolled out very successfully across Kansas City, both on the Missouri side and the Kansas side since then. My impression is that it's driven by the grassroots. It's been driven by the grizzled old sergeants who have seen over the years things get worse on the streets for people suffering from severe mental illness. They want to help them.
I assume they're nervous about this too.
They're nervous about dealing with these people in particular. One sergeant told me there is nothing more hair-raising for an officer on the street than dealing with someone with paranoid schizophrenia who's been self-medicating on PCP. These men and women are putting themselves on the front line to deal with people suffering from a mental health crisis day and night to keep us safe and to get those people into treatment.
We'll go back to some phone calls here. Rebecca, good morning. You're on the show.
Good morning, Steve. As you know, my office, the Office of the Public Administrator, serves as guardian for about 1,000 people with mental illness here in the Kansas City area. And I absolutely love and respect every officer who takes CIT training. And on their behalf, I want to comment that, you know, they do a wonderful job and so do the liaisons. But frankly, we are so understaffed in terms of psychiatric beds in this community, that there is nowhere for these people to go. There's nowhere for the CIT officers to take them. It is routine for me to know that we have as many as 10 to 15 people sitting in the emergency department requiring a bed for whom there is no psychiatric bed available.
And what happens then, Rebecca?
Well, you know, the worst simply sit there and wait for treatment in the hopes that beds will open up. And those that are not so extreme are simply turned back to the streets.
Keith, as you listen to this, what are you thinking?
Rebecca is absolutely right. We are short on resources on psychiatric inpatient beds, acute beds across the state. There are only about 1,200 beds across the whole state that specialize in psychiatric acute inpatient care.
And so Keith, how many do you need?
It's hard to say how many we need. It depends. If you had a really, really strong outpatient system with lots of resources, you'd need less inpatient beds, as Rebecca knows. It's a matter of the interplay between outpatient and inpatient. You know, I'd love to see double the number of beds that we have, but mm-hmm. I'd also like to see at least double the number of outpatient services. Michael's absolutely right. Liaisons aren't the answer for this whole process. Liaisons are simply the connectors for services that must be available to these folks. The liaisons actually connected about 1,578 individuals in the last year just in Kansas City alone.
And Keith,
and the outcomes have been very good.
And your point is that if liaisons can only do so much, if there aren't services for folks to be connected to, they're sort of left without much else that they can do then, right?
Well, that's correct. Well, they're not designed to be the treatment specialists. They're designed to be the individuals who understand the process,
right,
understand law enforcement, emergency rooms, et cetera, and then make the connections to community mental health centers and, as Rebecca says, to inpatient when it's needed. So, you know, we face these problems all across the state. We have a total budget of about $1.75 billion that we spend per year, of which a little less than half of that is for mental illness services, mm-hmm. mental health services. So there's a great need. I'd love to see the state of Missouri spend double that amount, but the truth is, Senator Curls, who is one of our greatest advocates, and a whole bunch of other legislators have to balance that with education,
yeah,
law enforcement, all the other issues that you're very familiar with.
Michael Price, I'll give you the last word here.
That's right, Con. I mean, broadly, and you'll see this in the film tomorrow night, the flaw in the system is that too often, doctors are giving people pills to take in their own home, and that's where the treatment stops. Mm-hmm. You need to follow them into the home and give them the therapy that they need, encourage them to take that medication, which may have side effects, and stick with them. Stick with them in their own homes. The care has got to follow people into their own homes.
We're going to leave our conversation there. I'm sorry we couldn't get to all our phone calls. I want to thank Dr. Keith Schaefer, Director of the Department of Mental Health for the state of Missouri. Keith, thank you very much.
Thank you.
State Senator Kiki Curls, a member of the Appropriations Committee in the State Senate. Kiki, always good to have you, too.
Thank you.
And journalist and filmmaker Michael Price, the director of Lost Minds, KC's Mental Health Crisis. That film airs at 8 on Wednesday evening on KCPT. Michael, thanks very much.
Thank
I appreciate
much.
It.